Matthew chapter 25. Again, we have a chapter break where there probably shouldn't have been one, because Jesus was just talking about the evil servant who was getting drunk and was not doing his job and was not prepared at all when his master came back. And he punished that servant, and he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he starts 25 with, then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared. I think when he says then, he's talking about on judgment day. Then on judgment day, the kingdom of heaven, or the church, shall be, and he goes into it. Chapter 25 is about 46 verses. And to me, it's very easily divided into three points. The first point is, be ready. As Christians, we need to always be ready. The second point is, we need to be doing. We need to be working for God. And the third point is judgment day, because judgment day is coming. So be ready, be doing, because judgment day is coming. Okay, so then on judgment day, the kingdom of heaven, or the church, shall be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So you have 10 virgins here who are going to a wedding, and they're waiting for the bridegroom. They don't know when the bridegroom is coming. So, because they don't know when the bridegroom is coming, they need to be prepared. This clearly is representative of the coming of the judgment day. We as Christians in the church need to always be prepared, because we do not know when judgment day is coming. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now remember, this is the church. He says the kingdom of heaven is like, so this is the church, those in the church. So we're talking about Christians here. But 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Let's say we're talking about a particular congregation. That means 5 of the Christians in that congregation are prepared to meet God. 5 are not prepared to meet God. 5 are faithful, 5 are unfaithful. Another thing that we can say here is that, again, this blows once saved, always saved out of the water. Because 5 of these members of the church are saved. 5 of these members of the church are not going to be saved. So once saved, always saved is completely false. The other thing is, was it wrong for the 5 wise to tell the 5 foolish, no, you can't have any of our oil? No, because when it comes to our souls, we can't share with others. We can't take people to heaven with us. While we're here on earth, we can try to influence those around us. We can try to teach those around us, encourage people around us, anyone who might be interested. But we can't take them with us, and no one can ride our coattails to heaven. When it comes to our souls, each one of us is responsible for our own souls. And when we stand before God on Judgment Day, we will have to give an account of our own lives. Afterward, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So these 5 foolish virgins, or these 5 Christians, unfaithful Christians, were not prepared for judgment day. Okay, then he tells another story. For the kingdom of heaven, or the church, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. Now, I think this is representing Jesus going into a far country. He's ascended back to heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, and he's left his servants here on earth, his Christians, the Christians here on earth, and we should be doing his work for him, which is not only obeying all his commands, but out to teaching and trying to reach the lost. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his separate ability, and immediately took his journey. So not every Christian is completely equal as far as their abilities and their talents, and that's fine. The point is, whatever talents you have, use them. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. Good for him. And likewise, he who had received 2, he gained 2 others also. Good for him. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Okay, so the question is, what did the 1 talent man do wrong? He didn't steal his Lord's money. He didn't go out and to the bar and drink it away. He just went and hid it, and then he's going to return it. So he didn't technically do anything wrong, right? It's, you know, a lot of people have that attitude. Well, I'm going to heaven because I don't murder, rob, and rape, so I'm good to go. Okay, you didn't do all of those things. What did you do? What did you do for God? Were you doing anything? Were you attending worship services? Were you partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Were you giving of your means to the church? Were you teaching others the gospel of Christ? What were you doing? Okay, you didn't rob, rape, and steal. Who cares? Okay, so the Lord is coming back to take an account. This obviously is representative of Judgment Day. Jesus coming back, and we're going to all stand before him on Judgment Day and give an account of our lives. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. He who had received 2 talents also came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of our Lord. You notice that the 5-talent servant and the 2-talent servant both got their rewards. You know, just because the 2-talent man didn't have 5 talents, it doesn't matter. Use whatever talents you have. Do whatever you are able to do for God. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. Look, there you have what is yours. Again, he didn't steal the Lord's money. He didn't spend it on booze or something, and he gave it back. What did this man do wrong? He didn't do anything right. That's the problem. His Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I am not scattered. Therefore, you ought to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This would be representative of an unproductive Christian. Completely unproductive. Doesn't necessarily do anything wrong. And maybe they're there at every worship service and Bible class. They're there in attendance. But they don't really do anything else. They don't really do anything. They're just there. Well, seems to me, by Jesus' story here, they're just as lost as an atheist. Okay, then he's going to go into a judgment day. Okay, so the first story is be ready. The second story, be doing. The third point is because judgment day is coming. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit on the throne of his glory. And all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick, or in prison and come to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, because you have done it to one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it to me. This is all Jesus saying. You were faithful, obedient Christians. You were faithful members of the Lord's church. Your reward is heaven. Then he shall say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also shall answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he shall answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, because you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So these are your unproductive Christians, your unfaithful Christians. Even those that may come to every worship services and you always see them sitting in the pew, but they don't do anything. They don't do anything for the Lord. They're not working for him. Another point that could be made here is, it seems like a lot of people are scared of the word works. You know, got to stay away from works, because if you talk about works, then you're trying to say that that we can earn our way to heaven, and we can't earn our way to heaven. And I totally agree. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We can never stand before God on judgment day and say, okay, God, these are all the wonderful good things that I did in my life. Therefore, you owe me heaven. Of course not. That's ridiculous. We can never earn our way to heaven. However, we do need to be working for God, not works of merit, like I did this, therefore you owe me, but works of obedience. You told me to do this, therefore I am doing it. The big difference between works of merit and works of obedience. And in this case, it would be, I'm reminded of a passage, let's see, in 1 John 3:17, it says, But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart of compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? So this is somebody who sees somebody in need but doesn't do anything for them. That's somebody who has faith without works that James talks about a lot in his book. We have to, works is just simply means doing. And we need to be doing. And we're going to be judged on our works, works of obedience. Here's another one, James 4:17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. There's just so many passages I could go over. Let's see. Now here's another one. James 1:25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I mean, we could go on and on and on. The entire book of James explains the difference between works of merit and works of obedience, and how faith is completely meaningless and useless if you don't have works to back it up. So I like this chapter in that it's pretty clear cut what Jesus's points are. That is, be prepared, be doing, because judgment day is coming and we don't know when. And that is Matthew 25.